We're going to be reading tonight on our soup and substance series here from John 14, verse 6. Looking at the message, as you see there, titled, Don't All Religions Worship the Same God? Don't all religions worship the same God? And we'll have many scriptures that we'll look at tonight, but we're just going to look at this one verse that I know is very, very familiar to us. Perhaps it's one of the first thoughts that comes to your mind when you hear that question. If not, maybe it will become one of the first thoughts that come to your mind when you hear that question. And Jesus, we know, especially the first part of this chapter, maybe I'll read that from verses 1 through 6. Our text will be verse 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. May God bless this reading of his word tonight. Let's pray. Father, what precious words. Words that really preach themselves, that are so obvious, and help us as we look at them to grow in our appreciation of your gospel truth and to understand even as much as we ever have how valuable these truths are for us and even for our conversation with others. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, last week we discussed if God even exists, can we know him? And you remember from Psalm 19, our study of Psalm 19, we saw that God has spoken to us in the universe, and that speech was given for a purpose so that we as humans would know him and worship him. However, even though we've establish that fact that God does exist, God is knowable, you can know him. Other people will claim, okay, yes, I know there's a God that exists, but they object to us Christians saying that our version of God is the only version. They'll agree, yes, there's a God, but they'll disagree that God is our God, or that God has to be only our God. Maybe there's different types of gods. In fact, we're accused very often of being bigots, intolerant, exclusive, divisive, discriminating, argumentative, and so on. After all, if everybody in the universe knows that God exists, Psalm 19 says the heavens declare it. Everybody sees that universe, that creation God's given. Romans 1 says everybody knows this. Therefore, isn't everybody worshiping the same God? And you might see then how an unbeliever can take just bits and pieces of the truths we've said and twist it back on us and say, does it really matter what way we worship that God? As long as we're sincere and we get along with other people, we're all worshiping the same God, right? Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, whatever. I'm sure you've heard some version of that objection many times. But make no mistake about it, that is an attack on Christianity. That is an attack. That's not an example of a person being kind to us as Christians, saying, oh, I agree with you. There is a God. He does exist. And if you want to believe those things, that's fine. Such a view is not approved by the God that exists. It's not approved by the God who is knowable, because we know what we know about that God from the places he told us. In the Holy Scriptures, the place where he told us about himself. And one of the clearest places in this God whom we know and his word about this is what we read tonight. Does it really matter which God you worship? Aren't we all just traveling our own different paths to get to the same destination? No, the answer is this. The only true religion is that which centers on Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so that's the theme we want to mention tonight, is that the only true religion is that which centers on Jesus. The only true religion has its center upon Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, revealed in the Bible. And in that true religion, Jesus is the way. In that true religion, Jesus is the truth. In that true religion, Jesus is the life. So let's look at each of those parts then of Jesus' revelation to us tonight in that verse. Jesus says, I'm the way. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way. Here, when Jesus says, I'm the way, he's not only giving us a theology, which is a information and teaching on who God is. Last week, we were kind of talking about that general topic. Can you know if there is a God? Right? But Jesus is also moving into the next branch of knowledge that would be in the Christian faith is what's called Christology, or studying who Christ is, this person and work of Jesus. What did he come and what is he all about? Jesus is telling us who he is. He says, I'm the way. This is what Jesus says here in our verse. I'm sure many of us have memorized John 14, verse 6. This is similar and consistent with what he already said earlier in the book of John. In John 10, for example, in John 10, verse 7, Jesus said to his disciples, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus is the way. He's the door, the access to the true God and the blessings of being a child of that true God in his kingdom. It's only Jesus. He is the way, not a way. He is the way. Now, there's another major world religion that believes God exists. They also believe that God speaks and you can know him. And he speaks with authority. And they also believe in Jesus. But they don't believe Jesus as the center of their religion. And this particular religion I'm thinking of is Islam. In Islam, Jesus is a true prophet of God, according to the Quran. So is Moses a prophet of God. So is Elijah and Isaiah and all of those. They believe the Old Testament. According to the Quran, they believe the Old Testament. But even though, according to Islam, Jesus is a true prophet, he is not the Son of God. He is not divine. And so for the Muslims, Jesus is not the way. He's only an announcer of the way. For a prophet points to someone else. Muhammad is the way, but not in the same way that we as Christians believe Jesus is. But Muhammad's the last prophet, and he's the way to get to Allah, according to their religion. It is not accurate for us or anyone to say that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. We both believe there is a God. That's true. We both believe there is only one God. That's true. But which God? And what's the way that you have access to that God? Well, those answers are very different. Very different. Our answer, of course, is not only what we read tonight, but other places that you are familiar with, I'm sure. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, 5. Or Acts 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is that only name. He is the way. But there's another world religion that offers a way that conflicts with Jesus being the way. So we're getting this answer down. Don't all religions really teach the same God? And no, they don't. Another world religion that believes there's only one God and that believes he speaks to us and we can know him. So in other words, it believes with, agrees with
a lot of what we said last week, not all of it, but a lot of it, and that religion is Judaism, modern Jews. Now, if God wanted to tell us that there is more than one way to get to Him, He had a perfect opportunity to teach that to us in the historical moment of this time period we read from John, from the Gospel of John. Because when Jesus came to earth, this was the time. Think about it. This was that unique moment in history where God's people was being transferred from the Jews, the biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because at that point in history, anybody who was a true follower of God was either a biological child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who also had been circumcised in their heart with true faith in Jehovah, or they were a handful of Gentiles like Rahab and others who had left their lands and their culture and come to join the Jews and live with them as God-fearers within the land. But once Jesus was there, things were going to change, right? The New Testament church was established. The gospel would go forth to both Jew and Gentile. Would Jesus and also his apostles go on to say then that, well, there was one way to get saved? It was a certain way for the Old Testament times, but now there's another way to get saved for the New Testament times. You see, it would have been very easy for Jesus to teach that. It just would make sense almost. And yet, the Bible specifically does not teach that. In fact, it says the believers in both Old and New Testament are saved in the same way. In the Old Testament, they were saved by looking ahead to the Messiah, to Jesus who would come one day. That's the only way they could get saved. The sacrifices of the law were pointing ahead to Jesus, the last and final Lamb of God. In the New Testament period, we look not ahead, but back to Jesus and what He did for us. And so if there was ever a time for God to say and teach us this gobbledygook that we hear around us, that every religion is really on their way to the same God, that would be the time, at least within the Jewish circles. But He doesn't. There's only one way, and Jesus is that way. For example, Ephesians 2, verse 18, in that chapter, men have looked at that in our men's Bible study a little bit, the discussion here of Jews and Gentiles, and it says, through Jesus, both Jew and Gentile have access by one Spirit to the Father. The Jewish temple and the Holy of Holies is only fulfilled in Jesus alone. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. How? By the blood of Jesus, not by this certain high priest who goes in all this special garb once a year. That's over. We enter through Jesus. And all that Old Testament was pointing forward to Jesus. He is the high priest that we have. And so if it's true that Jews who reject Jesus don't have the way to God and are not on their way to heaven, that is true, they're not on their way to heaven, then certainly every other religion that doesn't accept Jesus or worship Him for who He is also leading people on the broad road to destruction and to hell. Jesus is the center. He is the way. He is the way to the celestial city, to the new heavens and the new earth. There's a second thing Jesus tells us about true religion. It says He is the truth. Jesus is the way, and I am also the truth. He's the truth itself and revelation of truth. We wouldn't know what is true. All that is true in the world is true because it connects to Jesus Himself and the world He's created. In adult Sunday school, we saw this recently. In John 1, verse 14, we read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of truth. He's that Word who became flesh and came among us and is true. It's really, really difficult for a person to be honest and still say all those variety of things that we talked about in our sermon introduction. But we hear them all the time in our culture around us. Everybody's, as long as you're sincere, everybody's on the same path, believing the same basic thing. The same religions, all religions lead to the same place. It's really hard to be honest and say that when you look at those religions and start comparing their teachings. Because not only are their actual teachings different, their actual teachings contradict the teachings of other religions and conflict with each other. It's very important because the truth aspect is what many unbelievers use as proof for why they don't have to be Christians, because they've got truth already. Christianity isn't unique. It's in common with other religions. They'll say, look, Jesus had his Beatitudes. The Jews had their Ten Commandments. The Muslims have the Quran and Muhammad's sayings or hadiths. Confucius had his Proverbs. The Hindus had their ancient scriptures and writings and so on. And they're all pretty much the same. And there's truth in all of them, right? Well, it is accurate to notice that there is some overlap between some of the moral statements that you'll find in various religions. But it's not accurate to say that they all agree or that they're all representing the same truth with their own flavor. This is not like walking into the ice cream store and everything behind the counter is ice cream. You just get to pick vanilla or chocolate or do you want Rocky Road or Butter Brickle or do you want a little fudge on top or some marshmallow on the side? But, you know, it's all basically the same, milk, cream, sugar, and all of them. That's not what religion is. That's not what we depend upon for our very existence. God's Word gives a very different picture. Instead of seeing all truth as just different varieties and flavors of the same thing on the same shelf, God says, no, no, no. There's only one truth that exists, and that truth is that exists in Jesus. And whenever you find any statement in the world, any reflection that any philosopher or idea had, they can be unbelievers, but they might say something that's true. But it's not true because of the reason they will say it's true. Wherever you find it true, it's because they're taking the core ingredient of Jesus' truth and then adding to it, polluting it with their own ingredients so that it becomes hardly recognizable as true. Poisonous for your soul if you put that in your bowl. Not tasty and flavorful and fun. For remember how unbelievers handle the truth. Romans 1 says they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Or 1 Corinthians 2, if you have your Bibles, that's a good verse to turn to. We're not as familiar with that perhaps. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. This tells us, how do the unbelievers handle the truth that exists in the world? Here's what they, how they deal with it. In 1 Peter 2, verse 14, it says, the natural man, which is spiritual man in this context, refers to Christian, and natural man is the unbeliever, the unsaved. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You and I are strengthened and confirmed in our faith tonight when we hear Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The natural man hears that and they get angry. Those intolerant Christians thinking they've got the corner on truth. See, the natural man gets angry at the truth. He can't receive it, can't understand it. His heart is at war with God. He doesn't want this truth. But the one thing he wants is a certain truth, and he's very certain of that certain truth, that Christianity is wrong. And so he knows there is such a thing as truth, but he twists that knowledge of a real absolute truth in his own way. All theology, all religion that is separated from the Lord Jesus is false. Oh yes, you can read quotes here and there from morality sayings of Confucius or in the Quran or in modern Judaism. And there might be elements of truth in parts of those teachings. But these ways, the total way that they offer to you is madness. It's deceit. It's not the way to heaven. They do not reveal the eternal truth. It's not the eternal truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because only Jesus is the way and the truth. For Jesus, of course, tells us that in this text. And in John 1, verse 17, We read that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth did not come through a college degree. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 verse 17 also says that Jesus is before everything, the creation, and it is in Jesus that everything hangs together. That's why the earth is spinning at the proper speed and we're not flying off of it right now, because it's in Jesus that even that truth of gravity hangs together. So as Christians, you see tonight, we don't have to be afraid of having the truth. We know we do have it. We have faith in Jesus. He's the truth. Do not doubt. Do not be swayed by the opinion of mankind. It's an excellent quote. Perhaps you've heard it recently from former Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He said this: God assumed from the very beginning that the wise of the world would view Christians as fools, and he has not been disappointed. If I have brought any message today, it is this: have the courage to have your wisdom regarded as stupidity. Be fools for Christ, and have the courage to suffer the contempt of the sophisticated world. Very helpful and wise words. The truth is the truth. And what makes it wise is because God has revealed it, not because people who say they are wise agree with us about it. Jesus is the truth. Whether you've ever graduated from high school or not, whether you've traveled very many miles away from home or not, is irrelevant. Jesus is the truth. And if you have Him, you have the truth that every human in this world needs and longs for. The last thing we see about true religion, when we assess all the ideas out there in the world, is this a true and accurate thing? Is this particular religion going to help me? Well, is Jesus the way? Is Jesus the truth of this religion? And then lastly, Jesus is the life. And the true religion, Jesus is the life. Even though Christianity is, of course, the only religion which has Jesus as the way to heaven, and we're the only religion that has Jesus as the source of all truth, at least other religions can give a meaningful way of life, of enjoying the stuff of this world right now, can't they? Well, the thing about ultimate truth is that it's ultimate. You can't pick and choose some parts of it and leave other things behind. You can't say, okay, yes, I agree, it's plain, Jesus is the way and the truth, but maybe He isn't also the life. It's all or nothing. All or nothing. And He comes out and makes it plain. Yes, religions still continue to claim they'll offer the good life. But what is goodness? Remember the atheist Bertrand Russell. He tried to offer the good life. And the good life he offered was knowledge that all we're going to do is end our life on the way of doom and darkness and sadness and death, and we disintegrate, and that's all there is to it. And so the good life is just to be smart enough to know that's where you're going. See, the way, the life that the world offers to us is so dark and discouraging. If you don't believe in the God of the Bible, who is absolutely good, how can you even know what goodness is when you're thinking about the good life? For Islam, for example, goodness means absolute submission to Allah, no matter how many people have to be killed in the process. And the greatest evil in Islam is to say that God has a son. Of course, that God who had a son is the center of true religion. He is our hope in our life, that Jesus. For the life that our modern secular evolutionary world offers to us, it's the good life of pleasure, doing what makes me happy now. But what if what makes me happy changes? What if what makes me happy runs out of batteries? You see, the life that Jesus gives us is a river of life. It's a well that doesn't run dry. It's an unending supply of strength and power that propels us from now to eternity. Jesus is that life. The life that the world offers to us, however, leaves us crying for more. I can't get no satisfaction. The life that Jesus gives to us is very different. Colossians 1 describes it this way, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has bought us from our sins, redeemed us so that we could have life, no longer having to serve the death-producing idols of this world and their ideas and religions. How foolish it is to say all religions are basically the same. What religion besides Christianity offers forgiveness for sins and actually accomplishes it? What religion besides Christianity offers you power over the evil in your life and in this world and actually accomplishes it? Only God in Christ, through the power of His Holy Spirit that lives with us all our life long. When Jesus said He is the life, He not only promised to give us life, He prophesied in that promise that He was going to show that He is the source of life. When God said at the very beginning, "Let there be light," Jesus was there in the creation, giving life to all. And now when He goes to the cross, what happens on Easter morning? He is the life, isn't He? In John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." That's what Jesus means when he says, "I am the life." However weak we may feel, Jesus is our life. However doubtful we might be about staying on the straight and narrow, until Christ gets back, He reminds us He is the life that we need. Those who once were dead have life in Him. You see, Jesus, unlike the best that any other religion can hope to offer, Jesus doesn't just blaze a trail and go ahead of us and say, "Follow me, do what I do, and you'll get the same place." He earns our salvation. The place He goes to prepare for us, and then He goes, comes back and gets us and takes us there. It's not up to us to walk our way there. We cannot in our own strength at all. We are lost in trespasses and sins. Jesus is so much more than an example of holiness and goodness. He is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through Him. If you want something more than Christ, then that means you're not satisfied with Christ alone. And it means you don't know Him at all. Because when we know Christ, we know the way to heaven. We know the road we're on. And we know our destination, our life forever. And so I ask you, have you found your way home? That's what we should ask our friends when they say, "Oh, Christians and Muslims and Jews, yeah, they're all really basically the same." Ask them if they've found their way yet. Which way are they going? There's many competitors to Jesus. There are other ways, ways of Buddhism, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, to name a few. There are other truths, self-help psychologies, evolutionary theories, environmental activism. There are other lives, the self-centered life, the materialistic life, get a car, new clothes, and so on. The pleasure-seeking culture, living for the weekend. Is Jesus simply part of the leftovers of your life, maybe an insurance policy? Or is He, as true religion says, the center, the way, the truth, and the life? If you have faith in Jesus, He is not leftovers, He's not on the edge, He's not insurance policy, He's not one among many on the shelf. He is the way, the truth, and the life, with whom we worship and whom we love, who first loved us. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh, Father, how we thank and praise You that You have truly revealed Your heart of love and grace and compassion to us. and your only begotten Son. Thank you that He is the center of our faith and our joy. Help us not to be ashamed of that, but to delight in it and to be happy to bring this message. We know there's no other religion that will bring this message to us or to those in our world. And so help us to see our joyful duty to bring this message to those around us. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll turn now to hymn 667, and notice as we sing this hymn that we give glory to the Father through Jesus the Son. That's how the chorus puts it. 667.